Matthew chapter number 25, verse 1 through 13, it reads on this wise from the King James Version. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Verse 13, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Yeah. Amen. The grass withered, the flower fade away, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. Amen. For a few moments, with the help of the good Lord and the aid of the Holy Spirit, I want to speak from the subject, "Are you ready?"
Mm-hmm. All right. All right.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, it's interesting, at this time of year, one of the questions I frequently get asked is, "Are you ready?" Mm-hmm. No matter where you might be, no matter what you're doing, as December 25th get closer, people always tend to ask the question, "Are you ready?" Uh-huh. And it's interesting that they're wondering, "Are you ready for Christmas?" No doubt about it, you've been asked that time in and time again. Every year, somebody will ask you, "Are you ready? Are you ready for this holiday, this day where we exchange gifts and we exchange pleasantries and we sit around the table and we eat and we reminisce on times gone by and we think about the good old days?" But the question keeps coming up, "Are you ready?" And the Lord pointed out to me this week, to make it crystal clear, after I had been asked this a couple of times, "Are you ready?" And it just stuck out to me, Reverend Pursley, God was sending a message. After the news came on and I seen that they said that we lose a 9/11 total of deaths every day. And people keep asking me, "Are you ready?" It made one think that, are we asking the right question? And if we're asking the right question, are we asking the right question pertaining to the right subject? So let's look at this, my brothers and sisters. When we look at this parable that the Lord gives about these 10 virgins who went meet the bridegroom, he breaks it down. He said 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, because 5 took enough to fill their lamps and 5 did not take enough. So there are 4 points that I want to point out today as we discuss this matter of, are you ready? Number 1, as we look at the first 5 verses of this scripture, let me read them real quickly again. Number 1, the circumstances for the lamp. And if you have our app, you can follow along with us. The circumstance for the Lamb. Look what it says. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. That day that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. And so they were waiting, got tired, took a nap, but there was this practicing of this wedding. The traditional practices in biblical times were different than our wedding practices, because in the Bible, the wedding would take place when the bridegroom would go home to the home of the bride to bring her to his home as his wife. Taking the bride to the home of the bridegroom was generally a gala occasion involving a grand procession in which various people would join the procession at different stations along the route of the procession. And when the procession reached the bridegroom's home, all those in the procession would go into the house and celebrate with a grand feast. And when all the guests were in the house, the door would be shut, and nobody else could get in. So that's the practice. But then the participants in the wedding, there were 10 virgins listed in our text as participants. They would be friends of the bride. So these were her friends. We see the location. It says they went forth to meet the bridegroom who had the bride with him. So the bride and the bridegroom are together. And these virgins, these 10 virgins, went to a particular place to meet them along the way. And so as they were meeting them in this procession to meet the bride and the bridegroom to go into the bridegroom's house, we see something happened. They had some lamps, and because of the late hour of the procession, it was necessary for each one of these virgins to have a lamp with them to light their way. Today we will be talking about some type of flashlight or something that we would need. So it lets us know that they needed a light. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But the wise ones took enough oil in their lamps, but the foolish ones didn't.
Right.
My brothers and sisters, the wise ones were prepared and the foolish ones were not. And so while the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and they slept. And so what happens, my brothers and sisters, because people don't like to wait. Many of us have the Burger King mentality. You can have it your way right away. Because it was taking the bridegroom and the bride a long time to get to their location, they got tired and they fell asleep. And that's what's happening in our world today, is that many people are sleeping because Christ hasn't returned yet. But you got to be careful that you still have enough oil in your lamp. I wish I helped somebody today. And so now that is the circumstance for the lamp. But let's talk about the crisis for the lamps. It goes on in verse number 6, and I like this right here, because when the Bible begins to talk about this, Sister Johnson, when it says at midnight things begin to change. It says at midnight there was a cry made. Oh, help me, Jesus. I feel like preaching this thing right now. The crisis developed among the virgins, which involved the lamp, and it portrays the crisis that will come at the coming of Christ for those that are unprepared for his coming. And so when we see the crisis, we see a couple of things that happened. It was the darkness in the crisis. The darkness, because it was at midnight. This crisis occurred, Brother Charlie, at midnight, which speaks of the darkest hour of night. It's symbolically, because it pictures the dark sinful condition of the world when Christ comes back. And if you look at the world today, look at all the sin that's in the world. We realize that now we're trying to make right wrong and wrong right. It's sinful, it's sickening, but we see that this darkness is just symbolic of this crisis. But then there was a declaration made, because it says at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. The announcement comes that the bridegroom is here. So we see the cry was piercing. Sister Trish, it was shocking and it was surprising. It was startling because the people were slumbering. Y'all didn't get it. It was shocking. It was surprising. It was startling because they were slumbering, which means that he came at an unsuspecting time. It came when they wasn't expecting him to come, because they thought he would come during the day, but he waited until midnight. And when Christ comes, it will be an exciting time. It will not be a dull event. We need to be ready for his coming. Matter of fact, Luke 21:34 says, take heed to yourself, lest any man, anytime your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unaware, which means that you won't be ready when he comes. So take heed to yourself. This declaration, this cry, spoke of the coming of the bridegroom. It was the most important announcement that the waiting virgins could have heard, or they could have had made to them, but they were slumbering. Uh-huh. And then it was not only a cry, but it was a command, because it says, go out and meet him. The promise of Christ's coming is not without doing. Matter of fact, 2 Peter 3:11-14 says, see then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in a holy conversation and godliness? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So we got to be ready for this time when Christ comes. And I know that we're all looking forward to December 25th. But what if he shows up on December 22nd?
All right.
The discovery. There's a crisis, I told you, for the lamps. There was the discovery of the crisis. Uh-huh. It says, then all those virgins, they arose. They got up, trim their lamps. And the foolish says to the wise, look at them, they're fixing this thing up. Sister Lena, they said, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. This declaration that they've been waiting for, they all were friends. Watch this now. And this is what I want to tell somebody out there in Facebook, somebody out there in Zoom. You might even have a party going on right now, and you got all your friends, you got your thousands of friends that follow you on Facebook. And everybody that's in your party ain't wise. And some people are going to leech off of you. Everybody's not going to add to you. And so you got to be careful, because this right here, these 10 virgins, they were friends of the bride. And so what they thought was, since we all in the party together, and we didn't take responsibility for our action, give us what you got. And so they asked for them to give the oil from their lamps, because we wasn't careful enough to bring what we needed, even though we knew we were going to the same place, we forgot ours. And so they didn't have enough to replenish their oil, and were not prepared adequately for the coming of the bridegroom. And so now we see there's a deportment in this crisis, because now there is some disturbance in the group. Look what happens Now, the wise virgins turn on the foolish. The foolish says to the wise, give us of your oil. And the wise says, no, that ain't happening. Because if I give you what I got, I won't have enough for me. Are y'all praying with me? And when the five foolish virgins realized they were out of oil, and it's interesting what happens here, my brothers and sisters, the wise, not only did they say not so, but they told them to do something. It says, look, we can't give you ours, but we got a plan. Won't you go and find the people that sell and buy some for yourself? Isn't that something? They tell them, you need to leave right now and go get some for yourself. But remember, it's midnight. Y'all forgot all about that. It's late in the hour. And it was not a good time to go shopping. But watch this one. People will shop at any time. I just thought I'd throw that one out at you. When you find somebody that loves to shop, it doesn't matter what time it is, they will shop at any time. And so look what happens with the foolish ones. They realized that they were in need, so they took heed to what the wise one said and left the spot where the bridegroom was coming. Oh, I wish I had time to really point that in. If you knew that Christ was coming to a place where you were, why would you leave? Let me get to the next point. The closing for the lamps. This third point, the closing for the lamps. Look what happened. It says, and while they went to buy, this is what I was talking about, the bridegroom came. Yeah. The bridegroom, he came. And so when the bridegroom came, it says, they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. When all those in the possession were in the house, the door was closed. And so we got to look at the tradition. The closing of the door was final. And so once that door closed, there was no more opening of the door. And it was done to keep out the distractions from the celebration and to keep out the unworthy. So what it's saying that once that door was closed, nobody else is coming in because you can't distract the party that's going on the inside. And I want to tell somebody that when God comes and Christ comes and get his church and we get to the other side, that's going to be a celebration. And when the doors swing open and he lets us in, once that door is closed, it's closed. The door was closed while the delinquents were shopping. Delay in preparing for the Lord can be disastrous. But afterwards, look what happens. The verse says, after it came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. I'm almost done here. And the request was fervent. Can you see him knocking? Lord, Lord, it is us. Open unto us. Oh, they spoke the right language, but it was too late. It didn't do any good. Lord, Lord, open unto us. They was at the right place, but it was too late. Because they waited too long to confess Christ. I wish I had some help in here. And this closing lets us know that when it's closed, it's closed. Do I have a witness? And I'm trying to help somebody in here. These were some tragic words that he spoke in verse number 12. Look what happened. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. The refusal was very emphatic and it was enforced. They were not in the procession, and so he did not meet them to know who they were. And since he didn't meet them on the procession, he didn't know who they were, because they were friends of the bride. But they were not friends of the bridegroom. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you see, you could be a friend of the church, but if you're not friends of the bridegroom, he will say, depart from me, thou worker of iniquity. You can call me Lordy, Lordy, but I don't know who you are. I'm trying to help somebody up in here. It says, if you're not known of the Lord through salvation, you will be rejected from entering heaven. Even though the people in the church know who you are, if the Lord don't know who you are, you can knock on the door, but the Lord will say, I know you not. Do I have a witness in here? Only friends and not strangers are welcome into heaven. And I just want to tell somebody, are you ready? Do I have a witness? Are you ready? Not just ready for December 25th. But are you ready for the Lord's return? And as I get ready to close, the fourth thing that I see, the conclusion from the lamps. If we learn anything about these 10 virgins, the foolish ones teach us something, because I believe we learn the most from our mistakes. The foolish virgins teach us a lesson. Look what he says in verse number 13. He says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Which means he gives us a requirement to be watchful. Watch means to be prepared. It means to be alert. It means to be cautious. It means to be earnest. It means to be attentive concerning the coming of Jesus the Christ. It means to be alert concerning your spiritual condition. So many people, they don't have a concern about their spiritual condition, and they won't be ready when Jesus come. And so what they'll try to do, they'll try to go to mama, they'll try to go to daddy, they'll try to go to grandmama, they'll try to go to granddaddy, they'll try to go to sister, they'll try to go to brother and ask for some oil for their lamp, but it won't be enough time. You got to prepare for yourself. He gives us a reason to be watchful. He says, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. So as I bid you a good day and get ready for whatever may come, the question is, are you ready?
All right.
Do I have a little help in the house today?
All right.
The prime message of John the Baptist was one to get ready.
That's right.
For there is one coming who can walk on water. Get ready. For there is one who's coming who can change water into wine. Help me preach it, Trish. Get ready. For there is one who is coming who can open the eyes of the blind. Get ready. For there is one who is coming who can unstop the ears of the deaf. Right. I wish I had a little help in here.
Yeah.
Get ready, for there is one who can give liberty to those who are bound. Get ready, for there's one who is coming. Can you help me out there? Who can cleanse the leper of his leprosy? Help me preach today, Holy Spirit. Get ready, for there is one who's coming, who can control the wind and the waves. Get ready, because there is one who is coming, who can destroy the works of the devil. Get ready, because there is one who is coming that can lift up those that are fallen. Do I have a witness? Help me, Brother Fred. Get ready, for there is one who is coming that can wash away all of your sin. Get ready, for there is one that is coming who can make your life worth living. So people, you need to get ready, get ready. Get ready, get ready. Get ready, get ready. And once you get ready, you gotta stay ready. Do I have a witness? But the sad thing that I learned is most people fail to get ready. Do I have a witness? The one thing that I learned is that people like to take their time. When it's time to go, you gotta ask them, are you ready? Do I have a witness? Are you ready? It's time to get ready. You see, they are evidently too satisfied and therefore want to remain in their customs and traditions, to prolong their misery and frustration, to continue in their sinful lifestyles, to stumble in their spiritual darkness and despair. They want to bear their heavy burdens without help, and it seems like they're satisfied and try to handle their problems by themselves. If they were evidently so satisfied with who they were and what they were that they had no desire to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, therefore they simply, Sister Persley, they simply refuse to get ready. But I've discovered in my walk with the Lord that is of the utmost importance to get ready. If you need the Lord to do something for you, you gotta get ready. Do I have a witness? I can't help but to believe that there are some who were not blessed because they wasn't ready to be blessed. I can't help but to believe that there were some who were not healed because they wasn't ready to be healed. I can't help but believe there were some who were not encouraged because they were not ready to be encouraged. There were those who were not delivered because they were not ready to be delivered. There are some that's listening to me right now. They are not confident because they're not ready to be confident. There's others, they are not helped because they're not ready to be helped. Do I have a witness? And it's a sad statement that goes around the world. There are those that are not saved because they're not ready to be saved. But as I take my seat, help me, Holy Spirit, I can't help but just to wonder just how many sins have not been forgiven because somebody was not ready when the Lord passed by. How many blessings have not been enjoyed because somebody wasn't ready when the Lord passed by? You gonna catch it in the morning? I really wonder how many burdens have not been lifted because you were not ready when the Lord passed by. Ooh, I just can't wonder how many fears have have not been removed because somebody wasn't ready. When the Lord passed by, how many healings have not been received because somebody wasn't ready? When the Lord passed by, and how many hearts have not been touched because you wasn't ready when the Lord passed by? I wish I heard a witness. I know some folks, you've already been getting ready for Christmas. Got your Christmas tree up, got your lights around the house, got signs in your yard. You know you got family coming in, been cleaning your house all week long because you're getting ready. All of us know what it is to get ready for company, to get ready for dinner, to get ready for church, to get ready for a competition, to get ready for a wedding, to get ready for a job interview. We all know how to get ready for a special occasion like Christmas. In each case, there's a preparation that needs to be made. Maybe it's physical or mental or financial or maybe all three. Nevertheless, failure to prepare and failure to get ready will only result in disappointment or embarrassment. Do I have a witness? But this is the one that shocked me when the Lord began to whip me and began to talk to me. This is the one that got me. Sister Blessed Soul that left me crying on my pillow. I wonder how many people left the church disappointed that their problems had not been solved, that their need had not been met, that their situation had not changed, that their desire had not been fulfilled, that their pain had not been eased, that their sickness had not been healed, or that their soul had not been revived. And no doubt about it, it was because they were not ready. Oh Lord, help me preach. And it was God's desire, I want you to tell somebody, it was God's desire for you to have what you needed. And I tell you, there's a big difference between getting ready and being ready. Oh Lord, there's a big difference in getting ready and being ready. See, there's a lot of people that's always getting ready. When you talk to them and you call them on the phone and say, I'm on my way, and they say, I'm getting ready. Do I have a witness? Show up to their house. You ready? I'm getting ready. Do I have a witness? It's time to go. I'm getting ready. Do I have a witness? And God, he says, I don't want you to miss what I have for you, but you got to be ready. The five foolish virgins, they ran to get ready. They ran to get ready. But by the time they got ready, the door of opportunity was shut, and they were left outside. Oh Lord, and I just want to know how many people got left outside because they were too busy getting ready, too busy getting prepared. But if you are already prepared, when God passes by, you can say what the men say, ooh-wee, another blessing. Ain't the Lord all right? Well,
has been enough for you to chew on today. So let me sit my little self down. But I want somebody to know, the question is, are you ready? Well, how do I get ready? Thank you for asking me. Sister Anaya, how do I get ready? You get ready by reading and studying God's word. You get ready, Sister Malaya, by praying and seeking the face of God. You get ready, Brother AJ, by worshiping and praising the Son of God. You get ready, Sister Zachary, by yielding and submitting to the Spirit of God. You get ready, deacons, by attending and supporting the house of God. You get ready, Brother Gaywood, by believing and relying on the promises of God. You get ready, Sister Zaya, by keeping and obeying the commandments of God. You get ready by keeping your hand in the Lord's hand. And I'm out of here when I say this to you. Once you get ready, you gotta stay ready. And you stay ready the same when you get ready. And if you don't get ready and stay ready, you won't be ready. Ain't the Lord all right? When the Lord comes to you, make sure you be ready. Ain't the Lord all right? So my question, as I bid you farewell, are you ready? If you're ready, say yes. Say yes. Say yes. I'm ready. Say I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. High five yourself and say I'm ready. I've been ready. I can't miss my blessing. I'm like the blind man that heard that Jesus was passing by. And since he heard he was passing by, he was ready for his blessing. And I don't know what you stand in need of, but this day he's passing by. So whatever you gotta do to get ready, get ready, stay ready, so you will be ready. Say yeah.